As much as things change, you can always count on one thing. Real estate never stands still. This is your inside track to all things realty. From the latest market trends, tips and insights for whether you're buying or selling, and stories from the industry's leading experts that you can take with you on your real estate journey. You are listening to The Reality of Realty with Kristen Malfer.
Hi, this is Kristen Malfer. I am with Malford Associates, and we are doing our first podcast, which is The Reality of Realty. So what happens in real estate? And I am honored to welcome Alex Owens, top producer at Malford Associates. Welcome.
Thanks, Kristen. How are you doing today?
Good, good. Excited to hear what you have to say.
Well, what do you want to talk about?
Well, I think we ought to talk about, you know, people are asking us all the time, what do you see? What's happening in the spring market? Are interest rates affecting things? And I'd love to get your thoughts.
Oh, there are so many topics we can talk about there. But yes, I mean, I think right now it is, you know, beginning of the year, but it already feels like spring is upon us almost. I mean, yes, the weather has been really nice here in Kansas City, but we also have a lot of buyers that are entering the market. You know, I feel like the beginning of the year, we always get a lot of people entering the market. I know everybody says, oh, spring is the time, but really spring kind of starts to pop up in February here in Kansas City in terms of the market. So I do already see a lot of buyers, a lot of multiple offer situations happening, not on every house. It's definitely not like what we saw in late 2020, 2021, and some of 2022. But, you know, I think we're, again, we normally see a lot of buyers enter in the spring.
Yeah.
And then we had at the end of 2023, we saw rates that had kind of peaked at the highest we've seen them, at least for most people in the last, you know, couple of decades now. And that held a lot of buyers back. A lot of buyers were waiting and holding off. And then rates kind of dipped at the very end of the year, beginning of this year. And that kind of spurred people to come back into the market. And then there's been chit chat about what the Feds are going to do now through the rest of the year. And it seems like there's a lot of positivity around potentially rates coming down at some point this year and through the end of the year. How low and when that happens, we're going to have to wait and see.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be all of a sudden it's a drastic reduction. But, you know, they kind of, when we were together in California for the real estate convention, and they talked about how they had met with multiple people with, whether they be lending or financing, to say, we really feel like this could be a strong spring market. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I think you and I were kind of like, okay, and we're positive, but I definitely would say, even just in the last 2.5-3 weeks, I'm with you. I feel like it just all of a sudden just the calls started coming, and I think there are a ton of buyers. Now, we're still low on inventory, and we're going to have to get creative about finding properties. But I'm at least excited that the people who maybe took a breather due to interest rates or whatnot, that they're back in the market, and they want to buy a home, and they're not scared.
I agree. I do think that we're seeing a big resurgence back into the market. You know, I'm interested to see how the rest of this year plays out. Is it going to be a typical like, oh, it's spring, so we're busy because it's spring? Or is it going to get and consistently stay busier if rates stay steady or come further down? Because, you know, I think, too many things that are similar to 2020 happening right now. But, you know, with 2020, it was interesting because obviously, when everything kind of started to shut down at the beginning of spring, I mean, it was, you know, early March, February, March, whatever. It's almost like the spring market was slower than it was gearing up, and then it kind of slowed down.
Mm-hmm.
And then we saw the summer and the fall and the winter be very busy.
Yes.
Right? Now, the reasoning for 2020 being a crazy market, not all the same as what is happening today. But I think, you know, if we see rates start to come down the later half of this year, I think we might end up seeing a busier summer and fall and winter again than what we typically see. The last couple of years, we've actually had rates go up at the second half of the year. And we've actually had, so 2022 and 2023, from, you know, at some point in the fall-ish both years, we kind of saw things start to slow down for the second half of the years. So I'm interested to see what will happen. And I think rates are going to be a big part of that. But even where they're at today, I think a lot of buyers are starting to realize, okay, this is still better than it was last year. So I'm good to enter the market. And I think they're also starting to realize that it's not very likely we're going to see like a housing bust.
Yeah.
We're not going to see prices crash most likely, at least not here in Kansas City, I don't think. And so why wait? Because once you buy a house, you're locked in at that price, but you can refinance with that interest rate later.
Right.
Versus if you wait till interest rates drop, let's say it's a year from now, and yes, maybe interest rates are, you know, we're hypothesizing right now, a point, 2 points lower. The price of that home is going to also be significantly more.
Right.
So yes, your monthly payment might be smaller in terms of the interest that you're paying, but actually that monthly payment may not be that much different, or it might be higher because the purchase price is going to be higher.
Well, and not only that, I think that if these rates, when these rates, let's think positive, do come down, that it is going to enter more buyers. Mm-hmm. So then that house may not be available, or you're going to have more people fighting for that same house. Then we would get back into our 2022 where people are fighting, paying over asking, buying it as is, not doing inspections. You know, 2022 was crazy. 23, not as much, but we weren't dead. It just became, I think now we are in a bit of a, you know, like, here's what's real. And I think people are still, you know, we're still low on inventory, but I think there are people who still want to buy. And I'm trying to coach people that trying not to go crazy and buy something just out of emotion. Yeah. And, you know, just breathe for a minute. But if you find that perfect home, don't sit back and, like you said, don't wait because you're waiting on an interest rate to lower. Mm-hmm. A, that house might not be there. And B, it might be more expensive, or more people are going to be fighting for it. So I do. I think spring's going to be busy. I've always said end of February is really, like, if people are going to list, is really the best time to put your home on the market, because everybody else waits till end of April or May when everything's green and it's pretty, but it's almost too late. You could be the cherry on top right now as a seller,
yeah,
to come on the market. And buyers, you know, we can look and see that, I mean, but more people are set up on searches and that they're looking out there. So we know there's buyers, but I think we'll probably be busier this summer than we've ever been.
I agree. I think it's going to be an interesting year. It's not going to be the typical trajectory, you know? So we haven't been on a typical trajectory since 2019, though. So let's just be real.
So what are you planning in regards to, like you said, you're coaching and helping people. So whether it's, let's say, first-time home buyers or, you know, investors, other than not waiting, anything else that you're guiding them on? You know, first-time home buyers are very different than our upper bracket and investors that are buying. But what are you educating them, other than the interest rate, to in regards to be ready for being a buyer, to make them as strong as they can possibly be?
You know, first and foremost, buyer consultation. You got to be setting them up, because we can't just go see a house on, you know, you haven't talked to me and then you reach out to me and you're like, let's go see this house. I mean, we can do that, but you're not going to feel prepared and ready. And if you have to compete on that house, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Right.
You know, especially for a first-time home buyer.
If you don't have your pre-approval,
if we haven't talked about the process, what to expect, what's normal, what's not normal, if you haven't been set up on a search so you can see what else is kind of available. Obviously, sometimes the first house we see, that could be the house. But we also don't want you to jump and then realize, oh my God, I didn't even know what was going on, what's out there, and then get cold feet too. Right. And that's what comes with the territory if you're not prepared. So like doing the buyer consultation with a realtor, and then obviously getting a pre-approval with ideally a local loan officer, and really talking about what that comfort level is with the payment.
Right.
You know, right. The actual price of the home is important, and the search parameters we set up in terms of budget are important on the search. But where's that monthly payment comfort right. level at for you? Because that's where a buyer lives every single day. So that's really where we need to focus the most on. And that can vary with so many factors, right? So the same buyer could be looking for a house at, let's say, $500,000. But if you have different credit scores, which affect your interest rate, different income to debt ratio, different down payments, your actual monthly payment might be wildly different.
Right. I think, you know, of course, people call us real estate agents, and that's what we are. But really, we are real estate advisors, and that's amazing that you do the buyer consultation. I agree. You don't want to waste your time. You don't want to waste their time or the seller that they write this offer. And again, they were super excited. Emotion was involved, but they weren't ready. And then they get cold feet and they back out during inspections. And then you got to start the whole process again. So it's finding out, like, what does it look like? And a lot of people aren't comfortable enough to say, I don't even know what a $500,000 payment looks like. So they put a number, like, I want to have a $500,000 house. However, if you look at it, because you've got the house payment, you have taxes, you have an insurance, what's the HOA, and what does that really look at? What is it, an older home? Are utilities going to be higher or lower? And I would say, and I'm sure you say this as well, there's no dumb question in real estate. I mean, no. It's like, I'd rather them ask and find out versus get into something and then realize, like, wow, I can't afford it.
Agreed. And that's why I think those buyer consultations are so important. Like, yes, you're going to have more questions through the process, and that's okay, right? Because the more you know, the more you start to be like, oh, I have a question about something else in relation to that, right? So the more we go through the process, the more questions typically come up. But we need to have that initial buyer consultation and answer as many questions that you have up front. And by having those consultations, it kind of prompts other questions that you maybe didn't know that you had. So I think right. that's really important to kind of do initially and kind of get out of the way, so that by the time we're actually looking at properties, my whole goal, what I always tell clients is, I want you to feel empowered and able to make the right decision when you need to make it. Because it doesn't always happen at the right time or the perfect time. You know, like, it's just not how the world works.
Well, and if you're prepared, and again, if they trust you. And so if our clients are working with us, obviously they trust us, but I am going to call, if I had somebody with financing or my doctor, they're my trusted advisor. And that's what we should be for them, and tell them the truth. We don't want to just sell them a house. I mean, that doesn't, you know, we want to work with them and their friends and their parents. And I love that you're interested enough to ask them all those questions and to find out. And I think it's, you know, on the flip side of that, by us doing these buyer consultations, then we find out, what are they really looking for? And they may think they have a location, but you go, well, you focused on children or schools, or really diving into what they're looking for. And with us and networking and team size, and it's really, in my opinion, what I have found that has been a saving grace, is if we do those buyer consultations, find out what they're looking for, and really kind of find something off market. I mean, that is...
It happens.
With low inventory like it is. If we're prepared, because we know what they're looking for, they're going to be prepared, but yet we might be able to find something that everybody else didn't know about too. So,
How many did we do off market last year? I can't even remember.
Gosh, I think we did 33 million of our volume was properties that were never hit the market, that were sold either word of mouth or dot connecting and puzzle piecing. But
that's our favorite thing to do.
Love to dot connect
puzzle pieces.
Yes. So
when you can find something, that I think that's my favorite, is when I, you know, I'm meeting with somebody and they're telling me what they want, and you go, wait, light bulb,
I know exactly what
they're gonna buy. I think I have the right fit. And especially if somebody's like kind of been struggling. I had one of those this year where, you know, the buyer, they actually, I was not their first realtor. They had been working with another realtor, and kind of were having a difficult time. It had been, you know, several months, and
sometimes you just don't mesh, you know?
Well, I think in the specific situation, the realtor they were working with wasn't necessarily as privy to the specific area they were looking in, because
that makes it tough.
A specific area, and you really have to know, you know. So it's like older homes, there's a lot of the same people work that area, and so you know certain agents really well, things like that. So anyways, they had lost out on their perfect house.
Their dream house.
Yeah. And so they ended up reaching out to me after they decided to move forward with somebody else. And we looked for a little while. I almost got them the house that was their dream house on a backup offer, because I knew the other agent and asked the right questions. But the first offer did end up accepting as is, and didn't end up asking for anything else. So, but anyways, after a couple of months of being like, okay, low inventory, they're wanting something a little bit more specific, but the more I'm getting to know their needs, I was like, I have a house.
Have
they're willing to, you know, consider an off-market sale that's what they are actually interested in doing. And it's what, you know, it's what's going to work best for both clients.
Sometimes you have an older client that doesn't want a million people through there, and or it's kids not the right thing
for everybody.
Right.
You know, and we tell our clients, if we're like, hey, I think you're going to perform best on the market, even if I have a buyer, I'm going to say, then let's go to the market. That buyer can still come.
Right.
And be interested.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out. But yeah, I was able to puzzle piece and the whole point of this was the more that, you know, we did the buyer consultation, the more I got to know what their needs were, the more I was like, you know, I know that this isn't maybe your first, your favorite location. Like, it's a location you'll consider, but it's not maybe your favorite location. But when I look at, okay, what are your priority lists items? Like, from, let's say it's 1 to 10. This house fits so much.
8 out of your 10. Yeah.
And most of the top things. Right. And I know location is very important, but you're not having to say, like, this is a horrible location, right? It's still a location you'll consider. Yeah. But maybe it met everything else towards the top. So, you know, I think that's also an important thing to do as well for buyers, is coming up with a priority list.
Right.
It doesn't have to be 10. It could be 5. It could be 15. But 1 through 5 should probably be, you know, in order of your most important, and kind of towards the bottom would be you would like that, but you're flexible.
Right.
And I think being able to refer back to those lists is super helpful for buyers when we go to see a house. I would love to see those lists. I don't have to see them. But my questions when we're done with showing sometimes is, okay, how would we rate this house based off of your priority list? And if we saw multiple homes, what were your likes and your dislikes, and how would you rank these homes?
Yes. You know, I think too is buying off market and or asking those questions, but whether you do have a list, I actually love having a list, because I know the saying, I don't use it, but I know people do, buyers are liars. Like, that's not really a thing, but they think they want something. So, and they pigeonhole themselves into that area or price or location. And, you know, I recently had someone that referred me a client, and they gave me the parameters. I won't go east of this, north of this, south of this. Here's where we want to be. I will not cross 95th Street. So I wanted to interview husband, and I also talked to the wife. So I made a list. A lot of them meshed, but the whole thing on the 95th, not going, you know, they did. And I said, okay. So, of course, dot connecting, I run across a house that is south of 95th Street. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it is everything that they're looking for. And they were still out of town, so I had not met them. And so I went ahead and sent that to them. And I said, they're like, oh my gosh, where's this house? I said, I know. I'm not trying to convince you to go south of 95th, but this is everything that you've given me on everything on your list, other than it's not north of 95th. We are, you know, under contract with it, and they're super excited. It was everything. And so I think they were so appreciative. I didn't push them, but I thought, when I sent it,
to bring it to their attention.
Right. We owe that to them.
It's one of those things, you owe it to your clients to be like, okay, I know that maybe this isn't 100% of what you want, but I want to run it past you.
Right.
Because I would be doing you a disservice if I don't bring it to your attention, because maybe you're not seeing it because it's out of the parameters that you've set.
Right.
Right. So that is kind of our job, is to say, I want to bring this to your attention.
Right.
Right. And, you know, I've got a couple of clients that I'm doing that with right now. And I had, funny story, I had another one a couple years back. She was like, husband and wife, she goes, I will not look at a split level. I hate split levels. But the price point that they were looking at and the location they were looking at, I was like, it's prevalent.
Let me just show you one.
Yeah, I was like, let me just, you know, they were really hesitant against it. They wouldn't go see one for, you know, the first few times that we went out. And then there was a house that was listed that was a split level. And I was like, guys, I do think that you might like this. Can we just go see it?
Just let me waste 15 minutes of your time.
Yes. Yeah, we'll go see a couple other homes. Let's just add this one in, because the location is like, it's where you want to be. And it was really updated. So we went and saw it. They bought it. Yeah. And they like love it now. And they like started their family. Yeah. So anyways, she was like, I'm glad that we went to go see it, you know, and it's been a great house. So it's, I think, hearing what your clients have to say, but then asking additional questions and not just taking everything they say at face value.
Right.
Because otherwise we're not actually doing our job. We're just there to get a sale done. And that's not what we're here for.
That's not how we do business.
You know, we want to make sure our clients, that we're asking the right questions, that we're guiding them the best ways that we can.
Yeah.
That's our goal.
That's all you can do. But at least at the end of the day, we know we've done it all. Now, there's times we show 40 houses. There's times we show one. And it just, it depends. But if we've done our research and had these buyer consultations, it saves everybody time. And it does. I mean, it's just, it's then we're not looking at things that they definitely would not buy. So anything else you want to share in regards to what you feel in regards to spring or real estate or anything exciting that you want to talk about?
I mean, I think it's going to be a strong, like you said, a strong spring, a strong summer. I already have a lot of, I have a lot of people getting ready to list their homes right now. So I know that we've have more inventory that's going to come.
Yay.
I don't know why we always say like, oh, after the Super Bowl, the spring market really gets going, but it's so true.
Yeah.
Like it's just so true. It's been tight inventory all year. So I know there's a lot of buyers who would buy if the inventory dropped, but I'd say be ready because I think it's about to, I think a lot is getting ready to come on the market.
I do.
I think March and April and May are going to be bigger months for listings.
Yeah.
So buyers be ready. And then I guess we'll see what the feds do. I know that they, you know, they had a meeting a couple weeks ago and kind of said, okay, like we're not dropping rates yet. Which is fine.
I'm good with the word yet.
Yes.
You said maybe. That might be a maybe. So
I guess we'll kind of see what they do for, you know, Q2 and if that ends up being a big spur for the market. And if so, if rates do drop, buyers ante up, you know, make sure you're doing your buyer consultations now. Make sure you have everything ready now so that if you really do need to wait for that rate drop, you're one step ahead of the other buyers who are only going to be starting the process when the rates drop. I think if you can start now, that would be really important. And if you've already had your buyer consultation, which we've had, I've had so many, so like end of last year and beginning of this year already, which I'm so grateful for. If we've done your buyer consultation, like if we can find you the right house now, I think in a couple of years from now, you're going to be so happy that you locked in when you did.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think along that line too, with buyers being ready, I think sellers also, I had one client that wanted to listen to advice and updated and done the lighter paint and done some things that needed to happen and getting the house ready so mm-hmm. that they would have be, you know, you never get that second chance to make the first impression. So having that house ready. And then I had someone that we just decided to list against our judgment. They did not want to make those changes. Mm-hmm. And they're still on the market. And so that's a toughie, but at least I tried. And so I would say too, counseling sellers to say, go ahead. Not that you want to need to go through a whole remodel, but
no, but get yourself ready now.
Yes.
Well, okay, Kristen, remember that listing we did together in the pavilions?
Yes.
And we went in there and, you know, they were like, we are really hesitant. We don't have a whole lot of cash on hand. We don't want to make these updates.
And remember though, they were listed before.
They were listed
prior
before.
Season with a different agent. And we went in and it was evident that it was uncomfortable, right? You were uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable. The sellers, they did not want to make any changes. And boy, did they have some stuff. But, you know, through showing them what had happened with other clients, it took a massaging for a minute. And finally, they did it. And look, I mean,
okay, they gave me a $7,500 budget. You know, we talked to them. And it was, again, like, you don't have to do these updates. That's the thing. I think that's one of our calling cards is like, we just know what you can do and how that can help you. You don't have to do it, but then right. We pivot, right? So which one, there's not a right way or a wrong way necessarily. It's what's right for you.
Right.
But we want to make sure that you have the knowledge of what those options are.
Right. Okay? We owe it to them. We owe it to them to tell
we
them that.
Owe I it mean, to them.
Think about how much more money that they got from selling that house from even before when it was listed.
Oh, I can tell you what it was. They gave me a $7,500 budget and they ended up making like $35,000.
That's the difference. And that's where is the ROI, is the return on investment there. And if we see it, we should absolutely point that out. So again, getting houses, you know, having them ready. And even I have clients who have called that I sold years ago and they said, I'm not ready to move now. It might be 2 years. Would you mind just coming over?
Yes.
I love that. I'm so thankful that they
it's my favorite.
Ask us for paint colors or light. Let them enjoy it while they live there. But a lot of times I find I go over there and they're like, well, you know that house on the corner? I was really looking at that. So, but I love being able to get the advice give the advice and then also listen to them and find out what they're looking for if that perfect thing came on. But in the meantime, get their home ready, get it, you know, let them live in there and enjoy the new paint. And a lot of times they go, why didn't I do this years ago?
I know. I mean, I've done it myself, you know, where you're like, why did I wait so long to do that? It wasn't that expensive or it wasn't that hard. But, you know, as anything, I think we just build everything up in our heads sometimes. And but that's where we can kind of step in and help them too, is like we have a vetted vendor list.
Yes.
We can help guide them. We can help them make those selections sometimes. We've got connections with certain designers or certain stores.
Discounts where, on certain things. I think that's what I love, is that I know that we offer all of that, and just that they would call us. We give them that, and then 2 years later, they're ready to list, and it's a no-brainer. So I do. I think there's so much that we love about what we do, and you're an amazing agent, and I'm so fortunate that you are with me on this journey. And I want to thank everyone for listening today, and we look forward to many more podcasts. But thanks so much.
Thank you for listening to The Reality of Realty with Kristen Malfer. If you have any questions or topics you would like our experts to address in a future podcast, be sure to either DM us on Instagram at Malfer Associates or email us at homes@malferkc.com.